everybody today. We are so blessed today to have Pastor Quincy here to speak. So let's give him a great Destiny welcome.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, it's good to be here. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. You know, Sean, he texted me this morning, but I wanted to tease him. I know he's probably watching, so I wanted to tease him a little bit. I think Sean filtered me up a bit there in that picture there. And then I looked at the video, and then I said, you know, what is Bad Bunny doing in the Destiny video there? And then here it was me. All right, okay. Yeah, Pastor Kimberly, oh, when she walked through that door in the video, I didn't know you had that kind of swagger there. Like, kind of swaggered on in there. Well, praise the Lord. You know, I just want to do a few announcements before we get into the message. You know, for those of you who don't know, you can catch Quincy Goodstar Ministries. We're on Alpha Omega Broadcasting. That's over the state of New Mexico and parts of Arizona and parts of Colorado on Alpha Omega Broadcasting on their local cable. But anybody can watch it online. And the best way to view that is to go to quincygoodstar.com and you can see how to view. And also, if Quincy Goodstar Ministries is on the Pray app. And it looks like that. And all kinds of, if you download it for free, chances are your other favorite preacher is on there as well. Darth Vader will read the Bible to you on there if you want. That's James Earl Jones. All kinds of cool stuff are on this app. And we just hit a little over 36,000 followers on pray.com. And so check that out. And also, you can find my three books on Amazon or my website, The Blue Road, which is all about how Jesus fulfilled our old way, and Grace is the Gospel, which is all about how grace is the gospel. And also, my latest book, Sonship is Greater Than Discipleship. And what that is about, it's about how... And you're going to hear more and more of this revelation as the years come. That today, you are not disciples. I know that takes you from 0 to 100 right away, but you know what? Give me a chance. Let me explain. You know, under the law, you can be a disciple. But under the law, you can't be a son. Jesus has to come and adopt you to be a son. You know, and after the cross, Jesus... James, John, Peter, Jude, not one of the apostles ever referred to you as a disciple ever again. And so that's what that book is all about. And what somebody might think, well, what about make disciples of all nations? That's actually not what Jesus said. The King James Version actually has it correct. And in the King James Version, he says, go and teach all nations. Go teach them what? That you're now sons, that you're now daughters. You know, if a disciple can be fired, but a son or a daughter, now you're in the family. A disciple, low level, son, daughter, oh man, co-heir with Jesus. And so already I preached that message in North Carolina at a conference I was preaching at with Bill Johnson. And there was many pastors in that conference. I know they were there to see Bill, and they were probably wondering who I was. But many of them, they're running with that revelation. And you're going to hear more and more about that in the years to come. And so I brought one of those books, and I know Pastor Kimberly had a birthday the other day, so I want to give this one to you. And did anybody else have a birthday anytime soon? Who are you pointing at?
Mindy, over there.
Mindy, over there. Okay. Well, this is my book, The Blue Road. You can have this one. And happy birthday, and happy birthday, Destiny. You're welcome. And and this is just a selfless plug, okay? Selfless, though. You know, we just started a business called Noble Savage. And so go to noblesavage.fit. Hey, you'll find all of your supplement needs there. And one thing about us is we are, of course, third-party tested, FDA approved, non-GMO, sugar-free, vegan-friendly, all that good stuff. But everybody at the top of their field doing this, nobody's better than us. Actually, we are better than many of them, but we are less. We are affordable. We, like, cut the prices in half because we knew we needed to stand out. So go there and check that out. Okay, all right, all right. See, selfless, selfless. Well, if you didn't know by now, I'm a very bad Indian. I like to smile. I like to laugh. I'm not too stoic, okay? all right, thank you, thank you. All right, well, you know, I didn't plan to say this, but, you know, the Lord... I believe the Lord laid on my heart, there's many of you and many of you watching that are going through change and even in the midst of a transition. And you know, the Lord has no issue with change and has no issue with transition. He says, hey, Moses is dead. Now you, he has no issue with moving forward. And you know, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that you're moving forward. You know, the Lord, he's never about the past. And your moving forward isn't a risk to him. It may feel like a risk to you, but it's not a risk to him, says the Spirit of the Lord. And I want to encourage you to enjoy this time. You know, you never, we just don't know how many of these that we have. You know, enjoy this time. Enjoy each other. You know, one year I was singing at, I was singing at the Black Hills Powwow with my grandfather, uncles, cousins, and we did not know that was our last year singing together. We didn't know. A year later, my grandfather was gone. Others were gone. We didn't know. And so I want to encourage you to enjoy this time. Enjoy each other. And with that being said, what the Lord laid on my heart to bring today, I decided to call this message, Grace and Truth, the Whole Counsel. You know, we hear things today like the grace message, or we hear the term the gospel of grace, and we think it's something new, when actually it's the original gospel. It is the gospel. And when we hear things like, oh yeah, he preaches the grace message. You know, grace is not a message. It is the gospel. And grace is a person. Grace is Jesus. Of his fullness we have received. Grace upon grace. That's his fullness. We hear things like, oh yeah, he's a grace preacher. Well, geez, you're really saying, oh, he's a gospel preacher. Everybody should be. And we hear things like, oh yeah, and Paul, he wrote in Acts 20, and he told us what his ministry was, and he said this, he said, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus. So this is the ministry the greatest apostle has received, okay? And I call him the greatest one because he wrote 2/3 of the New Covenant. And so he said, this is the ministry he received to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And then he said this. Then some people, they say, well, what about the kingdom? The gospel of the kingdom. Well, you got to keep reading. And put this one in your pocket for people who say that kind of stuff, okay? He said, and indeed, now I know that you all, and he's talking to the Ephesian church. He was telling them, I'm not going to see you again. He said, and indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God. So preaching the kingdom and the gospel of grace is the same. There's not two gospels. There's only one gospel. And then when you read on, he says, therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Oh, man, I wish that I had time to talk to you about that. Because this is the same guy who wrote, he's a new creation. That's how you can say he's innocent now. Amen. And you're a new creation. So you can say you're innocent now. Amen. And then he says, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. So the gospel of grace, the gospel of the kingdom, which is the gospel of grace and peace, is the whole counsel. You know, but we hear things like, oh yeah, grace is good, but you got to give them the truth. Give them the truth in love. You know, as if truth is the law. When Jesus, he said this, he said, you shall know the truth. He said, and the truth will make you free. But what you need to realize is Jesus was saying this to Jewish people under the law who knew the Ten Commandments and the 613 other commandments better than you and me. And he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so today we're going to answer the question what Pilate asked. He said, truth? What is truth, huh? And then we hear people say today too, you know, oh, my truth. Well, if everybody has a truth, then there's no truth. You know, and my truth, yours too, isn't true. I should say, isn't the truth. You know, Jesus says he is the truth. And in John 1, the Lord, he said, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. And we hear people say things like this, that, oh yeah, grace is good, but you need the truth, as if truth is what? The law? Don't tell lies? You know, the law is true, but the law is not the truth of the gospel that sets you free. You know, you'll see that phrase throughout the gospel, the truth of the gospel, the truth of the gospel. And you notice this, grace and truth are on one side. You see the dichotomy. He says the law was given through Moses, but there's the dichotomy. Law on this side, grace and truth on this side. So what is the truth? You know, Jesus, he said, I am the truth. And you know what he is? He is your righteousness. Today in the new covenant, righteousness isn't what you do, it's who you are in. And then when you realize it's who you are in, then you end up doing righteous things, even unconsciously, effortlessly. Self-control ends up becoming a fruit, a side effect of now who you have become. Now you're not trying, now you really are. No use being kind to me if you're commanded to be kind to me. I don't want that kind of kindness. I want somebody kind to me because, man, they really like me. They love me. They want to be kind to me. You know, they're the genuine article. And this is what believing the truth does. And the truth is that you are accepted in the beloved. You're not trying to be. Our trouble today is that the church is trying to be what they already are. And God, he calls it doubt. When all the while he says, you're complete in Jesus. This is the truth. And our trouble is we are trying to be complete. And because we're trying to be in the building, when you're in the building, no wonder the frustration. you're there. You know, the law demands what man can never give. You ask your average Christian today, why was the law given? They'll say, oh yeah, so we know how to behave. Know what's right and know what's wrong. You know, that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that the law was given that everyone would become guilty, not justified. And what's right for you might not be right for me. What? Hey, glass of wine might be right for you. It was good for Timothy, but not for Quincy. I'll pass. Although I can, I'll pass because I'm free. You know, in 1 John 24, the Lord, he says, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You notice this, when the truth is in you, the side effect is keeping his commandments. You know, you don't have to worry about, and by the way, let's define his commandments, because he doesn't say he who keeps the law of Moses. It's his commandments. You know, and in John 13, the Lord, he defines what his commandments are. He says, a new commandment I give to you. He says, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And you know what? I believe Jesus, he said this with a smile. You know why? Because he knows that you and I, we love because he first loved us. You know, the Lord, he says this, that we are more than conquerors through his love. You know, you're not more than a conqueror because of your love for him. Have you ever thought about that? You're more than a conqueror because of his love for you. And then when you see his great love for you, loving people is just a side effect. And when you fall in love with Jesus, you know what? Then you actually want to love people, love the unlovable, love your neighbor. You actually want to be well-pleasing. Because, you know, many people today, believers, don't know how to correct God's people without giving them the law. Oh, how do you do that, Pastor Quincy? By showing them who they are, not who they're trying to be, who they are. You know, the most corrupt church, the Corinthian church, man, we would have left that place a long time ago. There's all kinds of debauchery going on in that church. Stuff I don't want to even say here. And today, your average Christian would say things like, oh yeah, you need deliverance. Paul didn't say that to them once. And if deliverance, and by the way, and I might be stepping on it. I might as well stand there longer on somebody's toes since I said it. Saved people don't need deliverance. Go deliver the unsaved. But if you are saved, you're complete in Jesus. You are righteous as a gift you're not trying to be. And for a saved person to believe and think that they need deliverance, the first thing you need to do is believe a lie. And you know what that lie is? That you're not complete in Jesus. And if you don't have the foundation of being complete in Jesus, that you are righteous as a gift, you will become a return customer and think you need deliverance again and again and again. where today, you know what? God calls it the fight of faith, the fight to believe. The fight to believe what? That you are righteous as a gift, that you are accepted in the beloved. That's why when you come to every challenge and obstacle, you know how you come? With his banner over you that says, hey, I'm his beloved, and he is mine. We're more than conquerors through what? Him. Who what? Who loves me. You know, working for your salvation will never make you feel loved. No wonder why believers have a hard time even being thankful, because you think you earned it. Well, if you earned it, you can give yourself a pat on the back as well. But the Lord says when we see him one day, we're going to throw our crowns at his feet and say, it was all you, Jesus. It's all you. You know, it's amazing. You know, Jesus, he said, when he sees you and I one day, the righteous, it's he says that he's going to say to you, he's going to say, you know what? When you visited me in prison and you clothed me, you fed me. And then he said this about you, child of God. He said, and the righteous will say, so righteous is a gift. He said, then the righteous will say, when did we see you in jail? When did we feed you? You know the scripture. And then you know the rest. He says, you did it to the least of these? Hey, you did it to me. But this is what you need to see. The righteous ain't even aware of their deeds. When did we do that? When did we feed you? You know what? They're just too busy being themselves. Being the genuine article. Not trying to become. They know and rest in who Jesus has made you to be. And now you're the real deal. You're keeping it 100. Now you've surpassed obedience. You know, under grace, you will surpass the law. You know, not one of the Ten Commandments says pray. Ever thought about that? Why? Because prayer depends upon the strength of another. And the law so always presupposes on man's strength to show him he has none. You know, not one of the Ten Commandments says give. But under grace, oh man, we become generous. Freely we have received. Freely give. You know, and Jesus, he says this in 1 John, he says, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. So you know what? We have focused so many years, oh yeah, I gotta keep the commandments, and we think that the truth is, oh yeah, don't tell lies. By the way, don't tell lies. But you know what? But it's grace that teaches us to live godly. The truth. That you are righteous, you're not trying to be. You know, as a man heart thinks in his heart, so is he. And so when you believe the truth that you are righteous as a gift, you are clean, you're not trying to be, you don't want to go jump in the mud. But because people think they're dirty, no wonder why they do dirty things. And I heard a very well-known preacher recently speaking to a very large auditorium, and he was telling the church that revival hasn't come because your hands are dirty and that they need to be clean. And he's speaking to the church. And the very first thing I thought was, no. You're speaking to people who are righteous as a gift, accepted in the beloved. Every believer is, whether they realize it or not. This is why it's the truth that you know that makes you free. It's not just the truth alone. It's the truth you know. Because every believer righteous as a gift, not every believer believes it. And if revival is being held back, it's because the church thinks they're dirty. Because you know what? If you believe the truth and know that you are clean, you're not trying to be, you don't have to get ready to pray for somebody. You're ready. You're clean. He says, if you are led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. That's in Galatians 4. That's one you never really hear. When somebody's teaching about being led of the Spirit, you know what that means? The Holy Spirit is not leading you to keep the law today. Because Jesus, he's more well than capable of teaching you better than two stone cold tablets. And if you are clean, which you are, and Jesus is your righteousness and you are in him, and as he is, so are you in this world, what's there stopping you from flowing with the best of them? But because of a mixing of law and grace, the church has disqualified themselves in their own believing, when all the while you're complete in Christ. You know, the Lord, he says that those who know their Lord will do exploits. Because of mixing law and grace, we have concentrated on exploits and think, oh yeah, I got to do this stuff and it'll show I know him. No, just get to know him. And all the exploits will follow you. They'll be there. You know, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, the Lord, he says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth. You know, believing the truth has a holy effect. You know, it was Charles Spurgeon who said, you believe correctly, you will live correctly. You know, it's as a man believes in his heart. So if you believe the truth that you are righteous as a gift, you're going to live it out. Self, no effort. Selfless. Because it's by the power of his Spirit and not your power. You know, the Lord, he says this. He says, the gospel is the power. And so what the enemy has done is he has introduced a little bit of self-effort in the gospel. Because the gospel is, hey, no effort of your own. It's all Jesus. And then you end up outdoing and outperforming anybody who was ever trying. But by his Spirit and not your effort. That's why it's the fruit of the Spirit and not the fruit of you. And he says this. He says, when you believe the truth, he says, hey, your love will just be there. Have you ever noticed this? People who are really working hard for their salvation, they're not very nice to you. See, a lot of laughs because you know it's true. They're very hard on you and hard on people. But something amazing happens that I've observed, where the more somebody gets to know Jesus, they automatically gravitate toward grace and love. It just goes that way. Have you ever realized that? Seen that? You know, and it reminds me of the tabernacle. You know, outside of the tabernacle, everything's bronze. The bronze laver, the bronze altar. And bronze in the Bible represents judgment, condemnation. And that's all on the outside. But as the closer you get, to the Holy of Holies. Everything's gold. You know what that is? Gold is divine righteousness and deity in the Bible. But it's better for us today because you know what? You were born straight away in the Holy of Holies because of Jesus. No formality, no formula to go through. Tabernacle of David, hey, is here. Everybody comes for free. Nobody qualifies to come. And so it's no wonder why, and you see it in the lives of great preachers over the past centuries, like E.W. Kenyon and Charles Spurgeon and Derek Prince. And Derek Prince and Charles Spurgeon, you know, you listen to some of their stuff. Charles Spurgeon, you got to read his stuff because he's alive in the 1800s. But toward the end of their preaching careers, they're telling you what I'm saying today. They're testifying to the gospel of the grace of God. You see the change. Where the more somebody gets to know Jesus, the more they see that the work is finished. And then the side effect is a victorious life. And loving people. And loving the Lord. Because you know what? When you love the Lord, you love sins less. I remember there was a time, there's probably a couple of you in here that seen me back then, where I was preaching a lot of mixture. I remember I would tell people, you gotta love God. Gotta love him with all your heart, soul, all your might. And then at the same time, thinking to myself, am I really doing that? And if everybody really told the truth. But the law, what I didn't know was the law was doing its job on me. Bringing me to the end of myself. And now today, I can honestly say, I'm in love with Jesus. I love Jesus. Where before, I wanted to. But you can't love someone just because you're commanded to. It takes seeing their love. And that's why I believe Jesus said that to a smile to the apostles, because he knew the more you see my love, it's going to grow for you. The more forgiven you see you are, your love will grow for me. You know, that's Jesus' logic. He says, the more you know you're forgiven, he said, the more you love him. And so if there's a lack of love in the church for Jesus, it's only because there's a lack of knowledge for how forgiven we truly are. You know, in Romans 8, the Lord, he says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Today, we hear a message many places that we're more than conquerors through our love for him. In essence, that's what we feel. No. He says, when you are faithless, he remains faithful. Oh. And then the rest of that verse is amazing. He says, because he cannot deny himself. Have you ever thought about why does he say that? Because he cannot deny himself because he's faithful to you. Because you're in him. You're his body. And Jesus' body is clean, spotless, without blemish. And you need to begin to see yourself that way. You know what this kind of preaching is doing? Feeding your spirit. Mixed your preaching, you know what it does? It teaches you to try to cultivate your flesh. No wonder why the defeat. When the Lord, he says all the while in Romans 8, but you're not in the flesh. And we've been thinking all the while we're in the flesh. When even 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. But we've been regarding ourselves according to the flesh. He says we don't even regard Jesus according to the flesh any longer. He's not the same Jesus who walked physically on the earth. And so we have preachers today regarding your flesh, preaching to you as if you are wood, when all the while you're gold. Stay gold, pony boy. Stay gold. You know, this is the way Peter put it in 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter, he said, but for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. This is what all of us want, you know? He says, to knowledge, self-control. Hey, there's your obedience. He says, but actually, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Self-control, I believe, is a higher level, higher than obedience. Because it reminds me of this. He said, there was this dad. He told his son, hey, sit down. And he wouldn't. He said, you sit down, boy, or I'm going to spank you. So he sat down. And then he looked at his friend. He said, inside, I'm still standing. Did he obey? Well, technically. But is that the kind of obedience we want? No. Self-control is from the heart. You know, it's this. Self-control. You know, you can yield and not want to. But you have to. Self-control is even higher than yielding. And he says, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, what things? Self-control, kindness, love, faith, virtue. If these are yours and they abound, he says, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things, what things? Love, faith, virtue, self-control, kindness. He says, he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So somebody who, you show me a believer who lacks these things, I just show you a believer who has forgotten that they were cleansed. Past tense. Cleansed. So you can reverse this truth without doing violence to God's word that, you know what, if you keep this righteous as a gift consciousness about you and always remember that you have been cleansed, you're not trying to be, hey, the love will be there. The kindness will be there. The faith will be there. The self-control will all be there. And guess what? You ain't even trying. It's not even your focus. All your focus is how much my Savior cleansed me because of his great love and his blood, his love for me, taking his place at the tree for me. And your love will be there. Your faith will be there. It'll all be there. You know, the Bible gives us an example, actually, of someone who forgot. And you know, it's interesting because, you know, the crux of the new covenant is this, that he remembers your sin no more. But we read that in Hebrews 8 and we're like, oh yeah, he remembers my sin no more if I don't sin. That's not what he says. He said he remembers your sins no more. But we like to read into things. And you know, and the Lord, he says, but there is one guy who's falling short, has been laid out for like 2,000 some years in the New Testament. But you know why the Holy Spirit has done this? By the way, it's Peter, and I'm going to show you. And it wasn't when he denied Jesus, by the way. For us to learn from. You know, the Lord, he says this, that the strength of sin is the law. It's an amazing verse and such an amazing phenomena that the harder you try to keep the law, the more defeated you will become. It's an amazing phenomena. Psychology has a term for it, that whatever you concentrate on, whatever is your focus, you'll move toward. And so if you're always constant in your focuses, don't sin, that's exactly what you're going to move toward. Any motorcyclist will tell you. You look where you want to go. And when you look at Jesus as your righteousness, that's where you will go, so to speak. That's what you will act out, because that's where your focus is. It's an amazing phenomenon. You know, the Lord, he says, all those who are under the law are under the curse of it. That's in the new covenant. But yet we have well-meaning preachers telling you today that that is the way to blessings. My goodness, what a hoodwink. When your way to blessings is not doing more, it's resting more in who Jesus has already made you to be. But in Galatians chapter 2, there is a term in Bible theology called Galatianism. And you know what it is? Mixing law and grace, which is neither. And the Galatians had this problem. And Paul, he used the gospel and the grace of God interchangeably in the book of Galatians. And in Galatians chapter 2, he said that the law came in by stealth. And it's interesting that when self-effort comes in, it's always by stealth. It's our default mode to work for our salvation. It's like Adam and Eve. Nobody had to teach them to cover themselves. They just automatically defaulted to trying to cover themselves. And it's not good enough. The only covering that's ever good enough is Jesus himself. And in Galatians 2, the law tried to creep into the Galatian church. And verse 4 says, and this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And then he says, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour. And then he says, why? That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. You know, there was a very famous preacher that wanted to preach at my church once. And his people got a hold of me and asked it. And if I said who it was, everybody would know. He's world famous, and he wanted to preach at my church, and I declined, because we were preaching at a previous conference together, and I preached one night, and I preached about how rest is the place of the new covenant, and I was sitting like this on the front row. And then he came up, he was preaching the next night. He came up, he stood right here. I could have reached out and touched him. And he stood right in front of me and he said, some people tell you to rest. Some people are saying to rest, but this message has worked for me and I'm not changing my message. That's what he said right in front of me. And I was like, is he talking to me? But I knew he just didn't understand, you know? Hey, I understand the temptation when you got 10,000 people sitting in your church and you're a multimillionaire. Why change, you know? But that's the temptation for them, especially when you know the truth. Because you know what? Oftentimes, moving from what you used to believe, it takes a bit of humility. Not oftentimes, every time, to say, you know what, I was taught like this, this is how I was brought up and raised in the church, but now I know that righteousness is a gift. Wow, and I used to say this to people. It takes a bit of humility to change. And I explained to his people why the best way I could, in the most polite way I could. But the reason why is I could not put that kind of mixture on my people. And Paul, he said, he didn't even give them an hour. Not even an hour. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Because if you are under the law, you will be in bondage. Truth of the gospel of grace, man, you will be free. But I was tempted, though. Because that guy has a reputation for dropping tens of thousands of dollars wherever he preaches at. You know, I was like, hey, you know, he might make a pretty good offering if I let him. But not even for an hour. We had to pass. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. You know, and then verse 11, he says, now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face. Okay, here we go. So why? Poor Peter, his sins, his falling shorts laid out there for 2,000 some years. Huh? He says, because he was to be blamed. He says, but the Holy Spirit is putting this here for us that we would see something, okay? He says, for before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. That means this, he's trying to keep the law. Let me put this right here too. He's not trying to sin. He's actually trying to keep law. And he said, but when they came, he withdrew. He separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision, fearing other Jews. And then he said, and the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with it, with their hypocrisy. You know, it's interesting because Peter, he did this because he was afraid of what people would think. And I was talking with another pastor, has a pretty decent-sized congregation, and he said to me, he said, you know, Pastor Quincy, he said, I believe everything that you say. He said, I totally agree 100% with what you say. He said, but I cannot say that to my people. That's what he said. And it reminded me of fearing those of the circumcision. It's interesting because when Paul talks about being a man pleaser, he's actually talking about preaching law. You know, today the thing is flipped. It's like if you preach grace, oh, you're a man pleaser. When in the context is if you preach the law, you're a man pleaser. People will approve of you. It's all he really gave it to us today. Not even realizing what they're saying. You preach grace, man, people say all kinds of bad things about you. They'll misunderstand you. But you know what? If you are truly preaching the gospel that Paul preached, you will be misunderstood. You know how I know? Because Paul was misunderstood. He says, should we just sin so grace could abound? You know, that was somebody's accusation against him. They misunderstood. When Paul said, this is your way out. And he says, 14, but when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel. It's in verse 14, please. You notice this, Paul calls this trying to keep law, not being straightforward about the truth of the gospel. What's wrong with that? Paul and the Holy Spirit thought this issue so important, it's on record for us. And he says, and then Paul, he said, so I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. You notice this, faith and works are opposite. But you know what? Your believing will produce good works as a side effect. They'll just be there unconsciously. He says, even we who have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. I wish I could preach that in every church on the earth. And you notice this. They're trying to keep law. They're not trying to sin. And Paul calls it not being straightforward about the truth of the gospel. You know, in Matthew 12, and we're closing with this. You know, the Lord, he says, a brood. This was a prophecy that Isaiah made about the Messiah. He said, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory. What Isaiah is saying about Jesus, and by the way, the flax and the reed, that's you and me, child of God. The Lord, he says this, he says that. All men, he says, are like grass of the field. You know, reeds, they're grass, types of grass. And he said, this is what the Messiah would do. He said, a bruised reed, he won't break. That means this. Hey, he's not going to kick you when you're down. You're feeling down, you're feeling discouraged, even doubts. I wish I had time to talk to you about that. He's not going to kick you for having doubts. You're looking at someone who gave his life to Jesus when I did not even believe in Jesus. I just thought I'd give him a try. That's what I thought. And here we are. If we all told the truth, and that was in jail when I was facing 31 years. And I wanted him to get me out of that trouble. So I thought I'd give him a try. I was a bruised reed. And he'd say, oh, don't you know you need to believe? Where's your faith in me? I'm so glad Jesus isn't like that. He said, a bruised reed, he won't break. And if everybody told the truth, we all came to Jesus for other reasons. Save my son. Help my court case. Heal me. All other reasons, not because we loved him. And Jesus knows. And he said, I know. He said, let's go anyway. You're with me. And then as you grow, then your love grows for him. It's like a child getting to know what the parent has done. A child doesn't love the parent more. But as the child grows and says, oh, geez, mom, I didn't know you gave that up for me so I could have this. Wow, I didn't know you went out without that so I could have this. And then the child's love grows. A bruised reed he won't break. He said, and a smoking flax he will not quench. That means this, if you're feeling like, man, you're on your last leg, like your candle, that's what it is about to go out and you don't know what's next. He's not going to tell you, you need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Don't you know? You're supposed to beat it. He says, no, he's not going to quench that fire. He says, till he sends forth justice to victory. But what does that last part mean? You know, Jesus is actually saying this, but in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3, this last part, he says, a bruised reed he won't break, a smoking flax he will not quench, and he will bring forth justice for truth. And you know how Jesus interprets truth, how Jesus quoted this? He quoted truth as victory. You don't need to learn how to be victorious. You know, this is your average sermon on a Sunday, what to do next. You can hear that out in the world. What formula to implement? You only need to know the truth. And he said, what is the truth? The truth will give you victory. The truth that you are righteous is a gift you're not trying to be. That means this, there's nothing between you and the Lord. So what's there to keep you from being blessed? Nothing. What's there to keep you from being healed? Nothing. You know the scripture that says, by his stripes we are healed? I used to think that was like stripes, like, oh yeah, stripes, you know? Like whips on his back, you know, 39 times, you know? But you know, and that's nice to say and a nice teaching, but you know, he was flogged by the Romans, and the Romans don't care about Jewish law. And we've heard the teaching, yeah, 39 classes of diseases, you know, one for each class, you know, and that's a nice teaching. And yeah, he died for every disease. But the Romans don't give a care about Jewish law. It was worse than 39. But if you look up that word stripes in the Hebrew, do it today after church. You know what it means in Hebrew? By being joined. By being joined to Jesus, you are healed. And you are joined to Jesus. You're in Christ. You need healing in your body, just put your hand up right where you are. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You know, that's the healer. I'm saying that to say this. You don't have to have hands laid on you all the time. Especially if you have the healer in you. Laying hands, that means impartation. You already have the Holy Spirit in you. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, all these with their hands raised, Father, right now, Father, give life to their mortal bodies by your Spirit. And Father, thank you for doing so. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And some of you feel your body getting a little warm right now. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that's him confirming in you that your healing is materializing. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that there's some of you have an appointment this week. Who are you? Just put your hand up. You have an appointment this week. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying you're going to get good news at that appointment. And you know, sister right here at this table, you know, I looked at you and there's something you've been dealing with for, seemed like quite a while. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord say that you're going to see that come to an end this week, says the Spirit of the Lord, simply because you're joined to my beloved Son, says the Spirit of the Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying you're going to get the confirmation. You're going to get the confirmation. You're going to see it, says the Spirit of the Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that he's giving creative ideas for business and marketing, says the Spirit of the Lord. If that's you, just put your hand up right where you are. And that he's giving clients for your business. And there's some of you wish to start one. Who are you? Just put your hand up right where you are. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, for giving a boost to these businesses and birthing them in Jesus' name. You know, and brother and sister right here, I just looked at you and I just heard the Spirit of the Lord. There's this business you all want to birth. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying to just step into it. You know, what seems like a risk to you isn't a risk to Him. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, go forward and you're going to see what your God does for you. And you're going to see what your God does for you, says the Spirit of the Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The provision for that vision that He gave to you is going to be there. And you're going to see it, says the Spirit of the Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, there's some with loved ones in the hospital, and you've been praying for somebody in the hospital. And I've seen a child in the hospital. You know, who are you? Just, you're praying for that one in the hospital, just lift your hand up. Even if you're watching at home or wherever you're watching from, it's for you as well. And you're praying for those people in the hospital there. Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, Father, give that loved one a touch from you. As we speak to you, Father, thank you for healing them right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Children going to court, who are you? Just put your hand up right where you are. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying He's giving undeserved favor in that courtroom. In the name of Jesus. And He's turning the heart of that judge, the heart of that court, to your child's favor, undeserved favor. And you're going to receive good news. You're going to see good news come from that, says the Spirit of the Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that there's some of you, you started a business, you started something, a ministry, and you stepped into it, and it seemed like there's just been like one challenge after another. And you even almost said to yourself that, you know, wow, did I really make the right move? Did I really hear from the Lord? And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, yes. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that those challenges are being made a plain now, says the Spirit of the Lord. And you're going to see that breakthrough and that provision in that area, says the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying a new day. And I see just rain coming down on this ministry, this church here. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying a new day. 4 times 7 is 28, isn't it? Holy Spirit, help me. Yes, it is. Yep. Thank you, Jesus. 28 years. 4 sevens. Completeness, perfection, rest. 4, the number for the whole world. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord, and I just even smell a bit of rain now. I thought I was smelling fry bread earlier. Now it's rain. Bread from heaven. But I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that times of refreshing and a new day, a new season is happening here, says the Spirit of the Lord. In Jesus' name. You know, and Sister Kimberly, I just hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, challenges being laid flat. You know, for you and your husband and your family, all those challenges, the Lord is making a plain. And you all are going to see that provision like never before, says the Spirit of the Lord. And I just see you all walking in such joy in time, those times of refreshing. And I know that in a couple times I said, Pastor Kimberly, in this meeting, but you and Sean are one. And you're going to see those things happen effortlessly. And I see you all walking in a joy like never before. Like the times of your life that you all are going to see that stepping into that, says the Spirit of the Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And Zion, you will see victory in your voice, says the Spirit of the Lord, in what he has been going through, says the Spirit of the Lord. And I just want to say this as if he's here. I know Sean is watching. You know, the enemy, I see that there is a gift that has to do with Zion's voice. And the Lord already spoke that to you, to your family. Whether that's singing, speaking, poetry, music, but something to do with the voice. And you're going to see a complete healing. And God getting glory through that voice, says the Spirit of the Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And I just want to pray for all of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, all these under the sound of my voice and watching, Father, all of their secret requests between them, you, their families, their businesses, their ministries, their finances, their health. Father, right now, Father, bless them more than they ask, thought, or even imagined. And Father, thank you, Father, for making their dreams come true. For reminding them today, through your daughter, to dream big and making their dreams come true. And Father, we thank you, Father, that as we go about the week, that you're confirming this word with signs and wonders throughout their lives. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.